Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
According to Anthony Irwin, the Los Angeles Lakers have made calls on Ayo Dosunmu to try to acquire the young talented guard. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Plus, Casey Johnson adds more color to what's going on with Josh Giddey. And the Bulls are predicted to win 32 games next year. We're going to talk about all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content today, y'all. And we're going to start off talking about this. The Los Angeles Lakers have reportedly contacted the Chicago Bulls to see about acquiring Ayo Dosunmu to their team. And this one comes from Anthony Irwin in an article. He says this: sources say Matisse Thybulle, Marcus Smart, the most teams are watching to see if he's going to be bought out, Ayo Dosunmu, and other names, the Lakers have had preliminary conversations with teams about availability and price, though no offers have been made. Now, that part is the key part. No offers have been made. And so I want to be clear here for any before any of my Bulls fans start reacting like, oh, my God, we got what the AK didn't take. It's preliminary conversations. And this happens a lot during the offseason. There are a lot of calls that we will never hear about. Sometimes you hear about like after a player's moved or later, or if a team has renewed interest near the trade deadline, we'll hear something like, oh, well, they actually called about him in the offseason. So I don't want this to be taken as something that's like, it's on the precipice of happening or anything like that. From everything that we've known, right? And this goes back to last year's trade deadline, or this year's trade deadline, I should say. It was just in February. This goes back to the trade deadline, is that we already knew that teams were calling on Ayo Dosunmu. At the trade deadline, it was said that Ayo had gotten more calls than Kobe White at the trade deadline. And we heard then that the Bulls had turned down those calls. Now, and with most smart front offices, if you heard just a few months ago, right, of just 4 months ago, 5 months ago, that a team was getting calls on a player and they turned those calls down, most people would think, okay, they don't want to move that player. But unfortunately, Arturis Karnisova is our president of basketball operations, and his history has led to a lot of turned down trade conversations only to turn around and shop that player months later. We just went through it with Lonzo Ball, for example. We got offered a protected first-round pick that ended up being 18th overall for Lonzo Ball, that then we turned around and just 5 months later ended up trading him for Isaac Okoro, right? So, you know, that's what it comes down to, that with this front office, you can never take that just because they turned down a deal, meaning that they won't turn around and try to trade that same player, even if the market has changed. Now, one thing with Ayo is that he has youth on the side. He has a fair contract on the side, but his season, just like with Lonzo Ball, ended and being down with injury, not being able to finish the season. So has that trade value went down from what? We didn't really hear any exact of what those offers were. We did hear, a week or so ago that, you know, Cam Whitmore for Ayo Dosunmu was the rumor, but then he ended up being moved for 2 second-round picks. So, you know, but he had some say in that, so maybe that's part of the reason why that didn't go down. But, you know, it just, I would love to be able to say that this front office is not going to move Ayo because they got calls before. But just in the reality of it, you can't say that because it's AK. That's who's running this team. And he's somebody that he will turn down a trade offer and turn around and shop that same player 3 months later. Now, let's look at what the Lakers could offer, right? Like, in reality, I'm going to try to be fair in this I'm going to shoot a fair one, but then I'm also going to say what the Bulls' asking price, in my opinion, should be. The Lakers are going to try to get acquire a player with the future first that they have. That seems like what they're gearing up towards. They also don't want to take up large money. Brian Windhorst just said yesterday that the Lakers not only want to be players in the free agency of 2027, but they're also lining up their money to be players in the free agency of 2026. Acquiring Ayo Dosunmu would allow them to do that, right? As far as in summer of 26, because he's a free agent, unrestricted free agent at the end of the season, they would have acquired his bird rights, so then they could look to retain him and whatever and still maintain the flexibility there. But if I'm the Chicago Bulls and the Los Angeles Lakers are calling me on Ayo Dosunmu, right? And I get it. The Lakers are going to have, 2031, 2032 first-round pick, something like that they can offer. They're going to try to do that. They're going to try to match salaries. But listen, if I'm the Chicago Bulls, don't call me and try to offer me Jared Vanderbilt. If you want Ayo Dosunmu, the conversation starts at Rui Hachimura and Austin Reeves. Now, guess what? Both those guys make considerably more money than Ayo Dosunmu. Now, the Bulls do have a trade exception. So technically, they can take back, you look at their $17 million trade exception, they can take back Austin Reeves and absorb that so they don't have to match the salaries exactly on what they're sending out. So that could put the Bulls in a place to be legitimate trade partners with the Lakers if they do want to try to make a move for Ayo Dosunmu. But again, if I'm the Bulls, that 2031 first-round pick, and I know that Bulls fans are going to be like, but Hayes, we don't get picks in drafts. And I understand that. And that's not even because I'm like super high on Austin Reeves. Austin Reeves is 27 years old. He's actually older than Ayo Dosunmu. Rui Hachimura is 27 too. He's older than Ayo Dosunmu. And I'm not saying that the Bulls maybe shouldn't try to get some seconds in that too. I think getting the first, unless it's heavily protected, I'm talking about like top 18 protected, something like that, you're probably not getting both those guys. And Ayo Dosunmu being kind of, you know, on the Bulls, there's always going to be a little knock on the value there. But that we're not having a conversation if one of those two aren't on the board. And I don't trust AK to even ask for one of those two players, in my personal opinion. With the Bulls, lucky to be something like Gabe Vincent and a second-round pick. And so, no, the Lakers, again, we're not trying to hand nobody a title without getting some type of value back. If you are calling on Ayo Dosunmu, that means that you recognize the value that he has. Some Bulls fans don't recognize his value, and that's on them. Some Bulls fans look at Ayo and think that he's an expendable player, and to me, he's one of the few two-way players that we have on this team. And so because of that and what the value that he has here, that means that my asking price, is going to be relatively high. So if you're not coming right and coming correct with, again, Rui Hachimura, Austin Reeves, that's the barrier of entry there. And I know that's, some people are going to say, Hayes, that is asking for too much. You're absolutely right. Because you are trying to build a team around Luka. And guess what? Ayo Dosunmu, with the way that he's grown as a three-point shooter and his defensive ability, is almost the perfect backcourt mate next to Luka Doncic. So I'm already seeing what y'all trying to do. So thus, if you want somebody who's damn near perfect in what you need around Luka and somebody who can push the pace on the break, guess what? You have to pay a price for that. That ain't coming to you easy. That's not coming to you cheap. We ain't got nothing. This ain't the half-off, half-price store. You're not getting nothing cheap here, especially because you're the Lakers. So, you know, in fairness, the Lakers reportedly have pivoted towards Matisse Thybulle, and we've heard that. That's a way easier get than them for somebody who does bring some defensive versatility. I don't think he has the offensive upside of Ayo Dosunmu, but maybe they do realize that that asking price is going to be high for a player like Ayo, because, again, it ain't coming easy. It ain't coming cheap. You got to come correct if you want Ayo Dosunmu. And so that 2031 pick, or I think it's 2032 pick, you need to come up off that player. And that's just it. That's it. Period. Point blank. And if you're not willing to do that, or give me Austin Reeves and give me Rui Hachimura, we ain't talking about nothing. And that's what and again, I know that's going to lead to some frustration from Bulls fans that deals aren't getting done, but we're not here to send out talent for just a pick that could never turn into anything. We need some proven talent back. I think that, and, you know, does Austin Reeves even fit? Does he fit with Josh Giddey? I don't know, but we need some talent back. Maybe we could reroute him to a third team. That's where I'm at with this. I know that's not where everybody's going to share and be at, and that's perfectly fine, but that's where I'm currently at when it comes down to it. If you want Ayo because he fits perfectly with your star, that's going to come at a premium. And if you're not willing to give that, we ain't talking about no business. We have nothing to talk about. So hearing that there have been no official offers made, that could very well mean that the preliminary talks went to, hey, what would it cost? Because he did say that price and availability were the conversation. And if you called and AK was like, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, what about Austin? And the Lakers like, Austin? You know, we got this 2032 pick and Gabe Vincent for you. We feel like, you know, that's a fair deal. AK should have adamantly hung up on the phone, told them, call me back when you're ready to talk some actual business, and I'll holler at you. Peace. Phone him. And that's what you should have left it at. And so if that's what AK did, I give him credit for that. Because, again, I was the person that was saying all last year, nobody's going to bail the Lakers out. Every GM ain't Nico Harrison. They're not looking to make the Lakers or give them a path to the next dynasty without giving a huge price back for that. So that's my personal opinion. Again, I know that that's probably one of the most meathead and fan takes that I've had in a while. I try to always shoot it straight and fair down the middle. But where I stand at right now, so many people are calling on the Bulls players reportedly. We got calls on Kobe, calls on Io. And these are, while they are free agents at the end of the season and Bulls fans have their trepidation about paying them, I'm not willing to just give away players with talent, even if they are becoming unrestricted free agents, unless you are coming with a value. We have walked away with too many trades with questionable value. I like Josh Giddey. I think that Josh Giddey could be a really, really damn good player, damn near borderline and great in what he does, right? And that's great for the value of Io. But when you look at really the return packages that we got between losing Drummond for nothing, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, Lonzo Ball, while I like some of those pieces that we got back, I like Herter. I think Herter played really good for us, and he plays really well with Josh Giddey. You have not gotten anything back that you look at and you're like, that's a great move. You look back and you're saying, all right, we can work with this. And I'm tired of, all right, we can work with this moves. I'm ready to get a move that makes and does something for the Chicago Bulls. And Io, because he's a player that I don't want to move. If you want Io DeSumo.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The price got to be right. And just a 2032 pick and Gabe Vincent, that price ain't right. But let me know what you guys feel on that down below. Now, yeah, last night we had an emergency live stream after it came out from Evan Seidry that the Chicago Bulls refuse to pay $30 million. They do not want to go up to that number. And that there is a legitimate chance that Josh Giddey and his camp could take the qualifying offer. Casey Johnson on the fast break last night kind of added some color to that. And this is why I did say even on that live stream, let's wait to see what we hear from a Bulls reporter, right? Casey Johnson added a lot of color saying this. First, Casey said that he has never heard from his internal conversations the $30 million number, meaning that a lot of, and I said this at one point, but then when you keep hearing the same thing, you start just going off of that, is that if like that $30 million number was something that came out and we never really knew what the root of that was, right? Josh Giddey, for what it's worth, has never really talked about his contract. Anytime he's up, he's like, I'm going to leave that to my agent and the Bulls. We'll get it worked out. So if it's not truly a $30 million contract, which regardless of that or not, that does add a little bit more on what these negotiations and making the question, okay, if it's not that number, then what is the number that they're going back and forth on? If $30 million isn't the number that Josh Giddey and his camp are working towards, which it's always been frameworked and said like a Jalen Suggs type deal, right? Which is averaged out to about $30 million, but it could be a type deal and still be 28, right? Like it could be something like that, but how many million really are they off? That's what the question that was raised after what Casey Johnson said. He said he never heard the $30 million number in his conversations. I love the fact that he always says that. He throws in, is like, hey, I have not heard that. Maybe that is going in something that I haven't heard, but that's just not something that I have heard around the team. But he also added in that both Josh Giddey and the Chicago Bulls want to get a deal done, and reportedly, they want to get a deal done soon. Now, I do look at I try to, in these conversations, always look at what's going on around the NBA. Is this something unique that's just to the Bulls? And it's not. Cam Thomas, Jonathan Kuminga, Josh Giddey, these are all big free agents, right? In this class, that have all not signed their deals yet. Quentin Grimes as well, who finished the season really strong, has not signed his deal, their deals yet. So again, I don't think that this is something that is unique to the Bulls. I think that this may be something that we need to start looking at as a market thing and a value thing that's happening around the NBA, in the sense that they're just not players in restricted free agency, that is, maybe every agent is kind of waiting to see what their restricted free agents or another restricted free agent signs for, and then they can kind of use that in their negotiations. For example, if Cam Thomas signs a $35 million deal in restricted free agent, any agent that has a player that's a restricted free agent, they're going to look at that and say, well, Cam just got 35 over 4, right? And so, and then again, that's just normal negotiation. And so maybe there's that part that's playing into this a little bit, and we shall see. Like the Johnny Kuminga thing, I think that that's a big thing too, because like I think this is all headed towards a signing trade for sure for Kuminga and whatnot. But with that said, that's another thing that people are looking at to see what's that going to turn into. Quentin Grimes, a player that came on late in the season. So it's not just Josh Giddey. If it was Josh Giddey, the lone restricted free agent that was waiting for his deal and the Bulls were lowballing, I'd be more kind of harsh on the Bulls in that sense. But it does seem like this is also something that's just happening around there. Now, Casey Johnson did comment on the qualifying offer thing, but he talked about it more as a, hey, this is a possibility, not a, hey, Josh Giddey and his agency, which is what Evan Sidery basically projected or said. He's not saying that, hey, this is something that they've said, hey, we're going to take the qualifying offer if they keep dicking us around. It's more so like a, hey, if this thing goes too long, that is an option out on the table, and then he can bet on himself and become an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. So I love it when Casey Johnson talks about stuff, not to say that Casey is the end-all, be-all, that Casey Johnson, what he says, take it as gospel. That's not what that is to say here. But it is to say that when your own insiders, right, when your beat writers, the guys that technically he works for, Jerry Reinsdorf, says that, hey, I haven't heard this, I do think that that is something that could be said on, all right, it adds a little bit of color difference to it. But when it all comes down to it, a deal has to get done at some point, right? Whether it's the qualifying offer or whether it's them coming to terms on a contract. You know, and I think that everybody's kind of waiting for that first restricted free agent domino to fall. And then you're going to kind of see the other restricted free agents all come with that as well. And probably one after another start signing. And there may be that just that holding pattern that we don't want to be the first restricted free agent to agree to a deal and then other restricted free agents get more. And we've seen that happen around the NBA before. That's not something that's unique to the Bulls, again, as I said. And I know that yesterday, especially with the report from Evan Sidery, that it's going to, you know, it drummed up that thing in Bulls fans, like, hey, the Bulls are being cheap again. The Bulls are dicking them around. Or if you're on the other side of that, yeah, good for the Bulls. They shouldn't do this. They shouldn't do that. And I always say this, in a good negotiation, both sides should walk away, feel like there was something that they left a little bit on the table. And that just is what it is. I think people kind of talk about it like, well, perfect negotiation is everybody gets kind of what they want. No, perfect negotiation, because especially on your opposite side of things and there's a gap there, it means that both sides walk away feeling like, yeah, you know, we may have left a little bit there. We may have paid a little bit too much. Maybe we didn't get enough, right? And then, but still walk away and say, but it was okay. It is what it is. And I think that's the sign of a really good negotiation. And as somebody who's talked about and complained and covered this team and how they did not negotiate with P. Will, right? They didn't do that. They didn't negotiate with Nikola Vucevic. You look at before Nikola Vucevic became a free agent, we heard 6 months before that the Bulls were going to re-sign him. And then the number that he ended up re-signing for was exactly that. It was almost like the Bulls just didn't wait to extend him during the season because it had leaked out and the backlash was there. So they just waited till free agency, but still they signed him before he could meet with another team. So we can't complain that this team doesn't negotiate. And then when they do, whine about and complain about that too. It's just going to come down to when the deal gets done. Now, if for some reason a deal does not get done and he does end up taking the qualifying offer, that's where it gets to, all right, Bulls, you dropped the ball here, right? But we'll see. We'll see. I'm not going to, before it really starts, already damn the Bulls is doing something wrong yet. It's a lot of rumors going on. A lot of it is coming in from people that are outside the city of Chicago, outside of reporting to this team. And I lean back to the people that cover this team every single day, that even travel with this team's going on. I lean more towards what they say. And when you hear some of the insiders, more so like, hey, this kind of, they haven't reached a deal yet, but even hearing like the thing that we heard, that they're a Gulf of Mexico away, that didn't come from a Chicago Bulls guy. So like, I think that this negotiation is probably going more straightforward than what the national media is alluding to. But of course, you got to sensationalize when you're trying to get a headline, especially a national headline. I think that's a big part of what's coming down here too. Not saying that there may not be something in the background, but I just don't take it all as absolute fact and truth yet, is basically what I'm saying here. All right, last topic of the day before we get out of here. And I love when this starts happening. We're going to keep a kind of a tally of this. DraftKings has predicted the Chicago Bulls win-loss total, and they put it in at 32.5 games. 32.5. Most people will remember that 27.5 was the mark last year. Now, I will say this, though. The Bulls were on pace to win about 28, 29 games before the Zach LaVine trade, and then the team started playing better. They were on track to win about 28, 29 games. And so, you know, it necessarily wasn't off for that, but then again, you never know how a team's going to come together. So 32.5 games for the Chicago Bulls is the prediction this year. And initially seeing that, it feels low. It feels very low for a team that won more games than that last year, that their best lineup didn't come together until well over halfway through the season, and two of their players that they're looking at as 1A, 1B now didn't really come on together until the end of the season either. But that may also be a reason for doubt. And so, you know, this is just a talking point. I think ultimately, like, we won't really know what this Bulls team is going to look like and how they're going to play until they take the court together, because there was so much up in air that you can look at and say, all right, was it a flash in the pan or is it going to be consistent this year? And that's up for the Bulls. That's up for the players. That's up for them to prove. Coaching plays a big part into that as well. Health plays a big part into that. And one thing that it's hard for these betting lines to predict is players that take a step. And Manas Bouzelas, if he takes a step next year, there's reason to believe that win total can go higher. And so we'll end up seeing in that. Like, we also didn't finish the season with Io wasn't healthy to finish the season. Lonzo wasn't healthy to finish the season. Now you're bringing Isaac Okoro in his place and things like that. So we shall see what's going to happen here. I just think that it's an interesting talking point. And as more and more of these come out, you know, we'll continue to see where they have the Bulls at this year. But there's going to be tons of doubt around the team. We just talked about Bill Simmons and his show the other yesterday and what he said about the Bulls and the doubt around the roster and the future and things like that. And even in that episode, I also said, like, we got to see some things that are going to be consistent. We got to see some consistency from this team. And once we start seeing that, we'll have a better idea on exactly who this team is. And so we shall see what's going to happen here. But for what it's worth, 32.5 is the predicted win total by DraftKings for the Bulls. Let me know down below. Do you agree with that? Do you disagree with it? How you feel about it? But that's my time for today, y'all. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, but that's thanks to you, lovely and beautiful people. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.